Alright, everybody, welcome in. Thank you for tuning in to episode 5 of On the Draw. I am Mythic Fishbomb here with Phoenix Forward Hex. How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing well. I hope everybody out there in Hexland is doing well as well.
And we have the ever present Indormy.
Hello, guys.
Alright.
That's a tough joke, I know, but whatever.
I don't know. I couldn't think of anything better to say, anything more clever to say than ever present, so. That's where we're at. So, this week we get news of a big patch, so we're going to cover that later on today. We've also got a Hextech Open update to throw at you guys. But the first we're going to lead off today with is the VIP tournaments that started this weekend. Probably in the past now by the time we get this up there. But there was one Friday. Well, there was multiple Friday. What was it? Three of them? Two of them on Friday, three of them on Saturday, and one of them on Sunday. They're all Pacific times, but you can use a world clock to figure out when they were. But some really cool prizes are being given out, which are alternate art Inquisitors and Menacing Grox for two wins and up. What's really cool is they're giving it for two wins, which is actually lower than I thought they'd go. I thought, like, when they're doing alternate arts like this, it'd probably be for like 4-0s get it, maybe even 3-1s, but probably just 4-0s. So it's cool to see they're going down as far as two wins to give a little incentive for playing it to begin with. Because I know a lot of times with the 128 mans, people won't play in them because if you go 2-0 or 2-2, you get nothing back. So it's cool to see something going to the 2-2s.
Yeah, I agree. This is a nice little addition that they've put in the Hex to kind of step away from the problems that they were having with the VIP status before with people selling packs and blah 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 whatever, but it is kind of cool that two wins gets you three set one packs, one Xentos Inquisitor alternate art, as well as one Menacing Grawl alternate art and 10,000 gold. So even if you don't even think that you're going to be competitive in it, you can go in, win a couple of games, and get something cool out of it. So I appreciate CZ doing something like this for the people to get some cool stuff that a lot of people aren't necessarily going to have. And obviously these are going to be for sale in the auction house too. So if you think you can do it, go and farm them, put them up, and try and make some money.
Yeah, actually the alternate art are really, really sweet. I especially like the Menacing Grawl one. Looks really like a dragon or a lizard with wings. And I really, really like that. The only thing that I dislike about this is that they previewed one of the collector's alternate art a couple of weeks ago, and it was Master Theory Crafter. That is basically an intro pack rare, and that was far from awesome. And these ones that are not the collector's one are really, really, really awesome. So I dislike that there's a parity between these two services, but oh well. They cannot make all the people happy, and I'm always unhappy.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see. It would have been nice, rather, to see something really, really cool be giving out for the collectors tier, alternate arts, and again, Master Theory Crafter. A sweet card overall, just not very playable. Well, I guess currently not very playable. Maybe it will be in the future. Doubtfully, but we can hold out hope. But yeah, like you were saying, the art on these cards are just tremendous. The Inquisitor, I'm partial to the original Inquisitor. Personally, though this one's very sweet as well, but I don't know. He looks too real. He's just staring at my soul. I don't like it too much.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm going to get
the,
like,
the one that is engraved in your nightmares, the old Inquisitor art.
No, yeah, this one is actually more of my nightmares because he's just staring at me the entire time. It's just very creepy. Also, the Grawl, while very awesome, like you were saying, I do kind of miss the ugly art of the original one. the dog bird dragon lizard.
Dog bear struggle, that's a really good description.
I mean, yep. It flows off the tongue too, so I don't know why they just name it dog bird dragon lizard, but I mean, can't win everything, I guess, like you were saying. But yeah, again, very cool they're doing this. A little unfortunate they announced that they were doing these really cool alternate arts after they said that they're not doing VIPs any longer, so it kind of made so people who wanted to get into it now couldn't. They are going to open them up for buying with Platinum. I believe it was basically you buy a year's worth of VIP with it. So whatever that comes out to, I think it's like $50, something like that, roughly. I don't know when they're going to do that yet. They haven't announced that, but that's something you can look forward to in the future. I'm also, did they say this is like they're doing this VIP tournament and that's it? Like they're not going to do any more VIP tournaments? Or they'll have a VIP tournament every, set and you buy a year's worth of VIP for it.
Yeah, there will be extra prizes. They are not all these. They are only for a couple of times. I'm pretty sure they are.
It says, and I quote, tournament formats change by month, so September's VIP format is constructed, and October's will be sealed. So there is for future ones coming, so that's something to look forward to. And I will be the first to admit that I did have VIP for a month or something back a while ago, and while the packs were nice, I'm definitely planning on picking up the VIP when it comes back out so I can do these tournaments, because these alternate arts are really cool, and if they're going to be doing more of them, I want them. So it's something to look forward to.
But yeah, so from one tournament to another, we got an update on our Hex Open Series. So Phoenix, why don't you tell us a little bit about that one, the new rules and such.
Okay, so we had a very successful first ever Hextex Open a little while ago. It was like about a month ago. Good sized turnout. It was during the conventions weekend, so it wasn't as big as it could have been, but it was nice that, you know, people who weren't going to these conventions and everything could still get their Hex on, and it was something a little different, competitive play. And there was a good turnout with some different decks. Congratulations to Light Reaper once again for winning, and Deck of Many Things and Homunculus, and if I'm forgetting anyone else, I'm sorry, but it was a good turnout. We're going to be doing another one soon. We have not set a date yet due to the fact, yes, this new patch coming out, which we're all excited about. We want to see how the patch performs before we go ahead and announce a date for the next Hextex Open. But we wanted to update you guys about some of the rules changes, or not even really changes, but additions that we're adding in. Because there were some concerns about, you know, round timers and etc. So we just wanted to clarify and get a more comprehensive list of rules together. We're going to go over the old rules and then a little bit about the new stuff. We're still going to be doing no-shows will be dropped after round one, so it doesn't affect tiebreakers and such. That can be an issue if you have people just sitting around and getting buys and whatever. So we will be dropping them after round one. You still have to send us your deck list with your keep name, your champion, and your 60-card main deck and 15-card reserve. But you will also now be required to give us the gems that are in your main deck cards as well as your sideboard cards, so there's no confusion. And we're still going to be doing the 2 minutes for reserves in between games. I know we can't really enforce this. We're just, hopefully, people know to be polite with this and get it done quick so we can get back to the games and finish the rounds in a timely manner. And then we're also going to be doing judge calls again. We were very successful. We had a couple of judge calls, nothing too big, no major problems. But if you suspect something being weird with your opponent's deck, you can call for a judge, we'll check on it, we'll give you a ruling, and then that ruling is final. Once again, thank you for everyone who did have a judge's call and was very respectful, and once again, no issues, so that was nice. Basically, if you're caught playing with a card that was supposed to be in your reserves, but it was in your main deck in game one, you get a game loss. But if you are get caught playing with a card that's not in your 75, you will basically be dropped from the tournament and lose any of the prizes that you would have gained otherwise. Just make sure that your decks are right. I mean, it's pretty easy. Double check them, triple check them before you send them to us, and make sure they're all ready when we get set to go. Also, one thing that we had a little bit of confusion about, maybe just might have been misclicks or whatever, but coin flips will determine who goes. The loser of game one will decide the coin flip for game two, and then the loser of game two will decide the coin flip for game three. So basically, if the winner gets prompted with the coin flip, or wins the coin flip and is prompted with player draw, the other person actually chooses for them. So just make sure we do that. We're also bumping up the round timer to 60 minutes, because some people have issues with slow play or whatever, want to give people enough time to actually get their decks where they want to be. So we're going to be bumping that to 60 minutes.
Hold on that real fast, though. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily slow play, per se, but some decks are slower than others.
Exactly.
And the 2 minutes added into the reserve time Which necessarily mean as in, we can't really uphold that because we can't physically watch you guys do it. But if someone takes like 3 minutes or whatever for their reserves, then that person whose deck is slower is at a disadvantage. They're already down by, you know, an extra minute that they would have to play the game otherwise. So it does kind of hurt the slower decks. And because we didn't really, I'll be blatantly honest with you, we didn't think of that when we first did the time management portion of our meetings. So for now, we're going to do 60 minutes to give the extra time we needed, as well as potentially even some added time to give the slower decks, the slower players, what have you, a little bit extra time to win their games instead of having some draws. We had a lot of draws the first one.
Yeah, we just want to be fair to everyone. So we are going to be bumping that up. And then finally, the only other change that we're going to be, or not even change, but the only thing we want to clarify for you guys is that there is no gem switching between rounds at all. Whatever you submit before the tournament, it must stay that way until the end of the tournament. So make sure that you don't change any gems or anything like that. And that's
actually
about it.
Rufus, on that one too, someone brought to my attention that that apparently Cryptozoic said in the forum somewhere that you can change gems between constructed games. It is intended. They told me multiple times it's not intended. I don't know. I'm going to look into that one too. If I can find that Cryptozoic actually said that it is allowed, it will allow it, obviously, because we want it to be as close to an official tournament as possible. But to the best of my knowledge, it's not allowed. So as of now, it's not allowed. But again, if we could find in the forums somewhere or Cryptozoic comes to us and tells us, we will allow it. But as I said, in the meantime, not allowed.
Yeah, basically, there's also one thing that, for some miraculous reason, best of three are included on the proving grounds. Most of these rules will change, and you will be will just use the rules that the client imposes on our best of three environment.
Mm. Yeah, and also there's a possibility we can get, I mean, very slim possibility, but maybe possibility we can get to be in tournament, in-game client, in-client tournament. So, I mean, maybe we can get some things to work out much smoother than this, but for now we'll probably have to leave it as these rules.
Yeah, it's really, really, really slim chance. I don't think that's realistically going to happen, but same as best of three, I think it's a very, very slim chance. I think seems that it's not very high priority for Cryptozoic. So if that for some reason happens in the next couple of weeks, if this patch is stable and so forth, we probably use that if we can. But most likely it's going to be with the rules Phoenix just read, read to us right now.
And we'll keep you guys apprised of any new changes. We'll also have the preview show that we do a couple of days before the tournament actually starts, just to go over the rules, and that will be on Hextext TV on Twitch. So once we get closer to the event, we'll be able to thin out the rules for you and make sure everybody's on the same page. And that should do it.
Well, we're also working on potentially getting a tournament tab put on the Hextext site, which will have these rules posted on there, as well as, you know, we'll have try like a wall of winners type deal. All that kind of stuff. So hopefully we'll have something nice and beautiful put out for you guys in, you know, the short future. That doesn't make sense at all.
Short future.
In the near future.
Artistic license.
Well, it's like going, it's like the infinite being fat thing from last time we had this conversation.
Yeah, the fat jokes in this post got a skyrocket.
But anyway, so hopefully we'll have it all nice and put out in text format soon. Man, words, what's going on? Alright, so let's jump into the new patch, since apparently I'm having diarrhea of the mouth. So, they said last week that we'll have to download a new patcher for the new client, seeing as it's in the new version of Unity. And it's seems to be mostly UI changes. They didn't say anything about bug fixes, but they've said before that a lot of the bug fixes that we're looking forward to are going to be put in once the new Unity is in, which is this patch. So hopefully we get a lot of bug fixes as well. But they have some pictures here of the new UI and where all the new buttons and stuff are. So now the Proving Grounds and Tournaments each have their own button. The Tournament one's a little trophy, I assume at least. And the Proving Grounds is the little play button. They've also added an inventory button as opposed to being part of the card manager, which is the little chess box. So, some cool little things to improve quality of life and side effects, as well as some other, you know, updates and making things look prettier and more like a polished game. But yeah, some really cool stuff. Anything you guys are particularly excited about?
I'd like to say that the new home screen looks pretty. I always love the art for Gozog. And I think it looks a little more immersive this way, as opposed to the more templated look that they have had in the past. So I'm excited about that. And everything just seems to look a little more finished. The colors seem to pop more. It just looks like it's put together a little bit more. They're getting to that point where it looks to be like a really, really high-end game, which it is. But, you know, in the past there was some kind of gaudy stuff going on with the buttons and the menus and everything, but they're finally starting to tie it together, so I'm excited about that.
I want to withhold judgment until I see the patch and I actually play with the patch, because images can lie a little bit, especially because I'm really excited about the patch. It has a lot of really improved stuff and polish, as you guys said, but I don't know how much that polish, it's not just graphically and it's also behind the scenes, and how much faster the deck manager loads, and are we getting Wheel of Death again, or is that fixed? I assume that we didn't get bug fixes for the past months, or not many of them, because they wanted them to fix them on this patch, the Unity, as they will have to fix them twice if they fix them before and in the new patch. So it looks pretty, but I want to withhold judgment until I know it's also functional. I think it's very, very important that the client is functional and not sloppy and with weird loading times and stuff like that. Because other really famous games, for example, League of Legends, I haven't played it in quite a while, but the client was super, super, super clunky with weird times. It hung up and it really was a negative experience from that. So hopefully this Kirosoi has done a really good job on the back end, and it's really smooth and the experience is much better.
One thing looking at these pictures here, that's both a positive and a negative to a certain extent, at least as a streamer, is that everything looks really large. The cards look much larger than they did before, which is good for when you're streaming, for people to be able to see what you're, you know, they can read the cards easier that way. But there's not a whole lot of extra space on the thing, which is nice, I guess, because you don't want to have like a ton of extra space. But for streaming purposes, it's a little unfortunate to not have places to put yourself on top of the screen. But another thing that is really nice about this whole thing, though, is they added so you could see your opponent's hand physically on top of the screen, so you could actually count how many cards are in their hand, as opposed to having to look for like a little number in the corner like it was previously. They also have a large number there too, but a lot of times you're not necessarily looking at where their hand would be on the actual screen, so seeing it above you is nice. One thing that's a little not confusing, but is probably going to take a little getting used to, is that they moved the shards from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen near your deck now, which I know I'm never going to look there. When I'm playing my shards, I'm like, how many thresholds do I have? I'm not going to ever see them, so that's going to take a little getting used to. But again, when we've been playing the game since Alpha, and the client's been fairly similar since Alpha, it hasn't gone through too many large changes. At least one this large, because we have a whole bunch of new buttons and new placement for everything. It's going to take some getting used to, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, all in all, I mean, they're making small changes just to try and capitalize on the space that the actual game board has. Previous to this, there was quite a bit of open space, which, granted, allowed you to do some cool stuff with overlays and everything like that, but seems like streamers are actually moving away from that quite a bit. They're actually liking the full screen view, which isn't my personal take, but I haven't been streaming much, so I can't really say anything. So, other things that they've done is they've polished the Wheels of Fate to have a nicer background, which looks much better. I didn't even really notice until I looked at this picture on the update that it was kind of just a bland disc underneath Kismet. So it does look much better now. So
Shadowhands, though. Shadowhands groping boobs. Cannot see them.
Well, still of course. See them.
I mean, to that point, though, whoever saw the background when you're looking at Kismet there?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, I just realized Kismet has three eyes.
There used to be a sign behind her saying my eyes are up here or something.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Yeah, I didn't notice the third eye at all. Really? Like, is that was before? Sure?
Yeah, no, she's always had three eyes.
Yeah?
How else does she see the future of your hand and what you're going to draw without a third eye? I mean, I have two eyes, I can't see that, so obviously the third eye is what does it.
We have a spurt in the matter, so... Yeah.
What do we have next on this on the patch, Mythic?
Well, we have another little slight change here. If you look at the current client, you can kind of scroll through your cards. If you have a list, you can go into your deck by kind of just moving over to the right, and then you can kind of just scroll through it that way. Whereas you only have like a kind of like a browser bar, like you'd see in an internet browser, which is... I guess good. I'm not sure how it's going to work when you go into the actual deck part of things, because it's going to be obviously a much larger bar and a little bit, you know, harder to get through everything. But for the graveyard, where it's a little bit smaller, I think it might be better. But without having played with it or seen it really, it's hard to tell whether it's an improvement or a downgrade.
Well, it's got to be a little bit better, I would hope, because I don't know how many times I've opened up my graveyard to look in it and tried to go to the third card to look at it, and I go to like the eighth and then have to go back and maybe go over it again and have to go back. It was just a little too fast and a little clunky. So I'm excited to see this. Hopefully it works better.
It's probably a little faster, I would guess, than having to scroll through each individual card.
I just hope it's more precise.
Yeah, I mean, precision's always nice.
Well, the one thing is, this is not about the Unity patch, but it was more in general. Although I really like that they are going to they go with a very similar experience to a physical card game. That, for example, when you crack a booster, it's a special location, and we have fireworks and so forth. The same when you search your deck, that it actually goes through every card as if you were searching in real life. Though that it's a cool concept, I really didn't like that for the line, especially when you have effects like the Transcended or stuff like that. It just made for a really clunky experience. To be fair, the lack of the part that is probably implemented in this patch was one of the main reasons, but I think that having the technology or the computer to organize or deck for easy access and to shortcut that searching that is a little bit obnoxious on paper TCGs would have been a good idea, because as Phoenix said, for example, you are searching your deck or whatever, and you have to count every one of them because you don't know how many there are remaining or something like that, and you have to go back and forth, and you just lose time. It's taking the clock. Your opponent is sitting there doing nothing. I don't think that's the best experience, but we'll see how much this bar run improves that aspect of the game.
Well, on the matter of Enlightened Seeker, I think his name is the third Fortin.
The third transformation is the Transcendent. The first one is Ascendant. Ascendant Aspirant, I think. The second one is the Lighted Seeker, and the third one is the Transcendent.
Yeah. Well, with the Transcendent, whenever you had a card and it would shuffle back into your deck, there was a combo we had a while back where you could just keep looping free Wild Growth to kill your opponent, and that card always went to the bottom of your deck. So whenever you'd search your deck, you'd just sit there and wait 20 minutes to scroll through it, and grab that one. Play it again. Wait 20 minutes to scroll through your deck. Grab that one. I think with the bar, you could at least just scooch to the end of the deck and grab it out, which should hopefully... I think it should work that way, at least. I mean, maybe. Again, I haven't played with this. I don't know. But hopefully it smooths up that kind of experience. Though, again, with like the graveyard, I don't think you're ever going to get much better than you can get in physical TCGs, where you just pick up, look through it really fast, and put it down. You can kind of see it very quickly. I don't know if they can ever really get it to be that fast in a digital card game.
I mean, it just, instead of having the card images, just have it on a list, and you just click, and for example, you have like, they are all
like a log type deal where you can see.
Yeah, but not a log. You just see the for example, when you draft, so one of the sort methods is just the cards on top of each other, and you only see the names. For example, it could have been something like that, and when you mouse over one of the cards, it just pops up, and you see the full card or something like that. Because it's just much easier to know, because we don't know, we don't have really graveyard strategies, but if there's a crazy graveyard strategy, you just start building your deck, having a way to organize it and know what has hit your graveyard yet and what not. It will be important, but more than what you were saying, that with Lupin Wild Growth, it was very, very obnoxious when I played a deck. I think it was a long time ago. We call Aspirin, that basically when we flipped the Transcended, we tutored for a Spectre from of the Ancestor Chosen. You play the Spectre and then you tutor for a Gambit. With the draw of the Spectre and with the draw of the Gambit, you tutor for the Spectre that Gambited. So you basically, if you on tap with that guy, you tutor for seven cards, and it was really, 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 really obnoxious to tutor for seven cards, because you want there to see how many I have left and so forth, and it was really, really, really obnoxious. But that's why I dislike this method. It usually for simple things it's completely fine, but when you go one step further, and it's more complicated, or requires more finesse, or you're searching for a large amount of cards, it can be really, really obnoxious.
One more thing I want to bring up about this patch before we move on to the big part of the whole patch. We were having a discussion before we came on the air, and I kind of want to throw it out there, see if we can get some input from the listeners out there. We were saying it's not more realistic to have the hand bent like they have it, where it kind of arches, as opposed to being square. They have it there because they wanted to make it feel more like a card game, and in the typical sense, you'd be holding your card, and you'd be holding your deck at your hand, rather, goddamn, in an arch. But if you ever played a physical TCG, you never once held your hand in an arch. You're dropping cards all over the place, you're opponent can see exactly how many cards are in your hand without having to ever ask you. It's just, it's not good form. So, I kind of figured we'd bring that up there, see if someone...
Yeah, I hate on this when we were at Turner, because I don't like having the cards arch. I know it's aesthetic completely, but, and people will not agree with me. I'd rather have the cards on a straight line than arch, but it's nothing minor. But yeah, I was arguing that it's completely not what you do on a normal TCG, because the thing is that only like really, really new people put them on an arch, because if you are any sort of competitive or experienced player, if people keep their hand like that, you know exactly what they draw, you know exactly probably what the cards on the heart they are, you know if they drew a land this turn or a resort this turn, or they miss, you know what, because of how they move the resources and move the cards in their hand, you probably know what you can get, have a really good guess of what they have, and usually what any well, as I said very, very new people usually shuffle their hand a lot to hide information. For example, if you draw something, you really don't want to win slam it and tell your opponent that you just drew that for the turn. You rather have it on your hand, shuffle your hand a little bit, and then play it. just to deny your opponent information. And although this stuff doesn't, it's not that important. All these little percentages over large tournament, it makes a difference. As the all the, you don't really don't want to give your opponent free information. It's just the same as if you are shuffling or real life. You don't want to flash your some sort of card to your opponent. You want to shuffle, hiding the bottom of the cards to your opponent. Same with you are sideboarding. You don't want to show your opponent how many cards you are sideboarding or what the actual sideboard cards are. You want to put them face down and so forth. I know it's not it's really not the same for digital TCGs, but there's all a little game inside the game that you can get extra information if you don't know how people roll and know about the game.
Well, one thing that just came to me actually, if you like looking at Hex, whenever you draw a resource, it'll go to the back of your hand with the other resources.
Yeah.
If they are showing your opponent's hand on top there, if you see a card go, I'm not sure if it works this way because again, I haven't played with it myself.
I hope not.
If it does, then you could see exactly when they draw a resource, which is pretty huge. So hopefully that's not the way it works, but that's a possibility.
Yeah, it's just a display of, and it doesn't have the animation of the draw, and it just displays the. If it's 4, 5, or 6, and it's completely aesthetic.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, because, for example, that's also something that happened on this client. That is kind of weird, but, for example, if your opponent Relentless Corruption you can actually see the card that is getting...
Occasionally, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. You don't see the card, but you can see usually the frame of the card, or the color, and that also happened with... sorry, with some other effects. So...
You'd see when you got into your deck if you had a light-colored sleeve. You could see that he went into the deck with the... It usually showed him towards the bottom, so I'm not sure if it was actually where it was, but you always see it in the deck.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It was kind of weird and kind of sloppy. And yeah, it's simulating the feel of normal TCG, but I don't think that's... That's what they wanted to go, so hopefully all these things are completely aesthetic and doesn't do like that, and it doesn't flash you the cards that your opponent takes from you, and so forth, because I really dislike that you have to have the link size to get a really really big edge with the stuff like that.
All right.
Yeah, well, I remember I've actually been able to call the card off of Relentless Corruption. A few times, and I mean that can make a big difference in a game. So I think that necessarily probably wasn't intended. I mean, it might have been intended to, like you said, to simulate the real experience kind of deal. But I don't think that CZ would ever want somebody being able to pick up that kind of information by
they don't want to pick that kind of information. Yeah,
exactly,
for sure. That's the thing. The thing is that They don't want to give you the information, but they want to give the TCG feel. But it wasn't done as well as it could have been, or as, I don't know. And you also didn't tell the card that was being picked, which was a real problem.
Well, that was probably just a visual, honestly, the fact that you could see the card.
No, I don't think it was visual, because it happened with other effects. It wasn't just
really... I don't know, it happened all the time, saying I'm sure it was just a bug inside of the... very buggy client.
No, I mean it wasn't a bug, because it has to have the art assets loading in there, so it's intended. It's not a... I'm pretty sure it was not a glitch. Probably it wasn't programmed the animation as good as it can be, as I said. It probably had to be faster, or the more darker the car, so you couldn't realize. The other thing that they could have done is just you only see the same car every time they pick for your opponent, and it's just like a joker kind of card, and every card that is flying around is the joker. You don't see the sleeve, and on the front flip is a joker, that kind of card. So
to show trophies.
Yeah, well, whatever. So you don't get any kind of information or frames. So because sometimes you could pick the cards, but usually you could pick at least the color of what they took from your deck.
Anything else on the minor parts of the patch, or do you want to jump right into the big one?
Let's go for the Gusto, man. This is big news.
All right, so now we hit with all the filler. Time to go with the killer here. We got trading to an extent. we got trading. Mail now. You could mail things to people. You can't trade in the sense of, like, you could go to your friend, look at their collection, pick some cards out, and do trading that kind of way, which is kind of what we're all hoping for, I'm sure. But at least we can now let our friends borrow cards.
That's how it works. I thought that you just went to the binder of your friend, you took the cards, and you just walked away.
That's how Spanish people do it, I guess. But here in America, we're fair. that's semi-racist. I apologize. but yeah, so you can mail your friends, your people you want to sell things to via the internet. Whatever you want to do, you can mail your cards now to your friends and people and such. Also, you can mail currency, and yeah, I think it's up to 20 items you could get in a single piece of mail. So pretty cool, because like I know with the invitational, Karn had like nothing, so I had to list all my cards up there for him to buy at like a single gold, and just pray that no one else bought them. Fortunately, no one else bought them. But I may or may not have had a few aneurysms in the meantime, trying not to cry.
Yeah, well, the thing is that now, before this couldn't happen, but this is now relevant. If you have a really weak password or something like that, or you use your password for something else, you should probably look on changing your password, because before there were no incentive of people stealing accounts. I know it's a pretty new game, and there's probably not a lot of this, but it's better to be safe than sorry. So now that and there's probably going to be some way of implemented that is more or less secure, but as it's on the first patch and on alpha, I'm not sure all the security things are going to be working, so I'll recommend you to change your password and be as safe as possible with this, as people can now have a Not an interest, but stealing your account or hacking your account, it amounts to something. They can steal your cars and your mercenaries and your stuff. So again, just be extra careful now. Just do not have to contact support for if anything happens. That I hope it doesn't, as this is a more or less a small community, but you never know. So I just wanted to get that out there and for people to be extra careful and change the password if they are not super super secure or whatever.
I'm going to take one of my 80 copies of Guard Dog that I've gotten in my numerous drafts that I've done and make him watch my account. Yeah, I mean, that's just... I probably have more than that. maybe a pack of Guard Dogs to guard my account. I don't really have anything on there that anybody would want to steal anyways, because my collection's not full. But I am looking forward to getting all of the extras that all of my friends have.
Unfortunately, you have no friends. So.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to send Mythic a mail with a Zodiac Shaman until I get all the Zodiac Shamans off of my account, and it's going to be one mail each. So I completely destroy his mailbox.
I'm just gonna delete them all.
Spam bomb.
Yeah, I mean, we have to. This is a beta client. We are here to test, and I recommend every one of you, if you want to do the same on test, please send a Zodiac Shaman in packs of one to Mythic Fist Mom.
I'm gonna change my hex account name right now. I'm gonna Mythic Fish Dad from now on. Just change it up.
The Zodiac Shamanator.
Yeah, I hit him up and tell him your dreams and hopes of what he's going to do with the Zodiac Shamans.
That's right.
And hopefully, we crush his account.
All right.
I think I have more than 100 of those, so it's going to take a while. But yeah, it's going to be worth
trolling.
It.
We can move on to the next big thing in this patch.
It's just rolling it. I'm just giving you my extra cards. I mean,
that's fair enough.
Thank God there's a delete selected option.
Oh yeah,
hopefully there's a block selected section.
Yeah, but there's a chance. There's a chance that the scroll bar is buggy, and he has to click one by one to go to them. So yeah, it's all really, really cool if the client is perfect and without bugs. But if not, it's going to be he is going to have the Shaman to stream.
And everybody needs to do this while Mythic is actually streaming.
Oh, if there's a noise for you have new mail, oh man.
Hopefully
he is going to have a blast.
The
you have new mail. You have new mail. You have new mail.
That'd be cool. I actually wish they did have that. You could change it so you could like have like the chronic badness noise.
Mail.
Okay.
Like a merfolk.
Yeah, you know, I practice. I dabble in merfolkinese, you know, who knows? All right.
Merfolkinese?
Okay. For real, though, on to some other stuff. We've got now hotkeys for proceed to attack phase and proceed to end phase. In the picture here, they're showing them as giant bars across the middle of the world. Hopefully that's not the case, because they're just obnoxiously large, and I don't like them. But if they are that way, hopefully there's not where they are, because where they are sucks. But anyway, we've all wanted this for quite the while. I know Havoc loses to time constantly. That's probably just because he's slow. But now at least proceed to end phase.
Just throwing that one for free completely.
Well, it's like proceed to end phase. So when you have nothing to do, you just hit F8. I believe you could change the hotkey. I'm not sure. But right now it's programmed to be F8. And you can now just end your turn. So instead of sitting there spending spacebar to not lose 27 seconds to the buggy clocks, now you'll lose 27 seconds, but you won't be spending spacebar the entire time. So there's a plus there.
Yeah, now instead of losing 20 seconds, you're going to actually lose the game because you press F8 more times than you should, and you skip your whole turn.
And you spam it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't Mythic slam it like he does.
And your opponent gets free mastery times.
Yeah. Free time walks.
I mean,
and
that'll probably
anyone
happen
that
very
played
often.
Any card game online with this kind of feature know that it happens.
It happens.
I've done it many a time.
There's some a little bit of lag. You breathe again, and suddenly you are at the end phase of your next turn.
Yeah, they haven't said there's going to be a way to stop that motion. There is in other card in other clients and other games and stuff a way to stop that from happening. This one they don't say that yet. So I think you might be better off just pressing F5 most of the time to skip to attack phase. That way,
or
if
you can just
spam
press
it,
the priorities and.
I mean, if you have good
and
internet,
lose
then, yeah,
20
you can
seconds
do that.
And don't lose the game.
Yeah, basically, don't be lazy.
If you've watched one of Cyrus's games or one of Havoc's games, you know that they lose to time all the time, or are at like a minute left all the time when their opponent has like 20 minutes because they're slow. At least they can talk about things and now have the game kind of do some things for them. They're still probably losing time. I will give it to you. They're still probably losing time a lot. But now they have no excuses, which is always good.
Yeah, I mean, this is really nice if there's a... right now, it really doesn't matter because there's nothing super obnoxious. But if your opponent needs, how to put it, being PG-13, having fun with their own turn because they are comboing for 20 minutes, but there's a chance that they can whiff or something. You can just now press F8 instead of being passing priority to every single activation. There's this other game. There may have been a combo deck that they took like 20 minutes. It was super obnoxious to play against. It may involve something called X.
Fun to play though, like it was fun for you to play.
Yeah,
when you're playing
yeah.
against it though, and you make your opponent do all the moves, that was the most fun to play against. It was, go for it, dude. Take your time.
Yeah,
have fun timing out, bro.
There's a chance they could time out or they whiff or whatever, and you had to start at them. So that's really really nice for those. And if already they have, I don't know, 20 rage fires on the stack because of 30 chimes and something like that. Now you can end phase instead of just conceding.
I want 30 chimes in play. That'd be awesome.
I actually lost to someone doing something like that the other day. They just had a cerebral fulmination, a run lockout, and just looped a million mastery times together forever. And I just basically sat there for like four turns, doing nothing but getting rage fired in the face. Didn't even attack with run lock, just rage fired me in the face a few times. It was pretty disgusting, and I had to spam spacebar the entire time to make myself feel even worse. So
yeah,
at least I could press F8, take a little nap, maybe make some food, come back.
Or just be like, no more people and say, I'm out of here.
I mean, they could just not draw the rage fire, then I could still win, right? So
yeah, that's the thing with all these kind of combo decks, that there's a slim chance, or I mean, right now, because there's no Paisato 3 on these kind of tournaments, but if they are, if you're playing against combo, especially on or against online games, are there, and their combo turns takes some time to set up, or some time to go for, especially if they have some kind of infinite noob that they have to use to kill you, it's a legit strategy to make them actually kill you with that, because their timer is going down, so they even have less time to combo you for the next two other games.
So it doesn't work in live tournaments, though. If you make them do it in live tournaments, you're losing out because you don't have your own separate timer.
I'm talking because they just hacks. If you're on all live tournaments, you just instead of them, if there's a chance they can whiff, you probably still stay there, and when you know that they are not going to break anymore, you just concede.
Or make the general rule, make them have it, right? You make them win.
Well,
never concede, man.
I mean, when you're in a timed tournament in a live event, you can't do that, because you will lose. You can lose
Hex.
That game, come in. I'm just saying, I was clarifying for people who listen to this, play Hex and also play other card games live. I wanted to give the good advice, man. I gotta be the voice of reason here. Obviously, Normie can't do it, so I gotta do it.
Yeah, we all know that's not gonna happen.
But yeah, the timer is a resource, especially on online games, and it's another resource that people have to work with. As I said, now it's not really relevant because the best of three are not really implemented, and it's only for tournament play, and there's not really many decks that have that kind of feature or time constraint. But going towards the future, we're probably going to see some of them at some point. So for all the one of the viewers, the listeners, that they don't know that, usually want to make them use their turn, because hopefully they don't have enough time to combo you well on game three, and they make a mistake and then something like that. Because this is actually something that happens with combo decks and complex combo decks, but it happens online more than on real life. If it's there's also a chance that if it's a complicated combo deck, there's also a chance they misclick and a whiff.
An extinction they won't feel the way like Mantic did.
Yeah, I mean, but not like that. But some, for example, they have to interact with the stack in very certain way and target this and that and so forth. And there's a chance they misclick, or if they are searching their library a lot, that they click the wrong card, especially if they are constrained for time. So that on paper is less likely, because there are usually shortcuts for stuff like that. But on online, there's if the combo is complicated, they can misclick. So you usually just stay there, and because there's a chance they can also misclick. There are also very easy combos that is just A plus B, and you're just basically dead. So there's very, very little chance to be misclick there. Like, for example, the chance with Rage Fire. The chance of not targeting you with the Rage Fire are pretty slim.
Yeah, I mean, well, to that point, though, the reason we were harping on this fact so much is because with Hex, they've already said they don't really want to have too many degenerate combos, aside from Gambit and Machinist. Apparently they missed that one. But other than that, though, any other degenerate combo, so anything they do have combo-wise in Hex will most likely be one of these more complicated, thought-out kind of combos. So having the F8 for those kind of matchups is definitely useful, as Normie was saying, and also just fun in general. Like, I don't like this. I think my spacebar is probably about to snap in half at this point, because I spam the hell out of that thing. So I think it's good to give it
so,
a little
so
break.
So you want to swap your spacebar with the less robust F8 button?
Yeah, I mean, I use spacebar more often when I'm writing things, right? So things have a little break every now and then.
Now you can swap your key binding from the spacebar for to F8, and now the spacebar is preset to the M-phase.
Yeah. But yeah, so again, hopefully this new UI update is also much faster than the current UI, and also the bug fixes are there. They should be there. I'm pretty sure they're going to do it for the new Unity. So hopefully we have everything looking beautiful and working well, and we can move forward to set 2 and open beta and all that kind of stuff in the very near future. Fingers crossed.
Fingers really crossed.
I'm going to break my fingers when I cross them so hard. But yeah, so I think that's all we got for this week. No, it's not. Look at me lying. Look at that one. All right. Phoenix is going to throw something.
That's not it. No. What about the smarter, better, faster, better?
Smarter, faster, better.
The new AI?
A new AI. Good. Yeah, you got new AI. So you can beat those guys faster, smarter, and better.
So no post-combat Pokka charge powers and buccaneering themselves. I hope they don't buccaneer themselves forever, because every time that the AI did that, I would like force myself to use a removal spell on the buccaneer that they were going to bounce themselves, so I could actually have a semi decent game, even though it was still pretty bad anyways. But hopefully that kind of shenanigans is gone, because it just was bad. I don't know how else to put it. It was just bad.
The thing is that further drifting the river was a jerk. That guy was a jerk. Even being dumb, he was a jerk.
Yeah, that deck is good.
Yeah, I actually lost to that AI like very often.
Yep.
She's a jerk.
It's basically just a really bad version of the top tier mono Sapphire deck, like a really awful version of it. But still has potent draws. I just blow you out. Yeah. Either that, or I'm just really bad and don't want to admit it. But it's one of the two, either way. But yeah, so Phoenix, when you throw the other thing at us then, after we got through the AI, because...
Well, we haven't gone through the AI, basically, what they are saying. No, the thing is that they say that the AF now will bluff, and it will try to blow you up with combat tricks, or they say here to watch out for well growth. It's also saying that it's going to have different personalities, although only one of them is going to be implemented. In addition to that, the AI has been vastly improved, and it should hang up less. And hopefully this is not just the AI, but the client overall.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't also play creatures in response to things on the stack. That was getting kind of annoying as well.
Yeah, the AI cheated. That's a thing.
Also, never once played a Savage Raider.
Never.
Not one time. Had 7 cards in hand, and they were all Savage Raiders.
You can't empty your hand, man. Right?
I mean, that's how they bluff. That's part of what they're talking about. They're going to bluff. They're still not going to ever play Savage Raiders, but they're going to make you think they're playing something else that maybe would be good at some point in time. Just saying, next level.
Yeah, but what also one of the things that it says that is we'll attend to... the computer opponent will also play with card counts in mind, so it will try to play to its out and stuff like that. I'm super skeptical about this. And I really want to say it. There's also something that you really cannot prove, unless you can see the AS hand all the time. So I'm not super trusty for all of this. Maybe I'm wrong, and hopefully that I'm wrong, and the AI is basically Deep Silver 20.0, and it's amazing. And
what did you just say is the real question there.
Whatever.
What I think they're doing, I think CZE is going to hire like 5,000 to 10,000 people to sit in a warehouse and play as the AI. So
I mean,
it
I'm
seems
available.
Like you're playing against somebody who knows against a computer that really
yeah,
knows
me,
what's
you,
going
you
on.
Can be the starter AI.
I don't have a job yet, so I can definitely just buccaneer my own stuff and discard my own things to course flies. I mean, that's my plan anyway. So, I mean, I'm all for that. Because, if you're looking for somebody, let me know, man. I'm down. But yeah, like the
don't need much.
With the AI though, again, it's kind of one of those believe it when I see it type deals. Obviously, it'd be great for it to work, and it'd be definitely a great step forward towards PvE if the AI is not completely retarded.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go to. Having a really, 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 really good AI is really, really, really important for PvE. So, right now the AI we have was we know it was placeholder and so forth, but it was completely unplayable for PvE. And I really want that the PvE experience with all the updates and sneak peeks we have seen. It's really, really a challenge for not only new players to TCGs, but also for more competitive players. And it's a better overall experience, and it's hard. And you wipe and you hate the AI, and you will call her cheater and so forth. And I really want that frustration from PB.
I think you just want a Counter Strike every 3 turns.
Oh yeah,
and just kind of that's
a right voice. Yeah. That's a right voice.
All right, are we done with the AI now? If we go to the other thing,
I think we're good.
All right, so
I don't even know what's the other thing. But...
Well, hopefully everybody who checks out the podcast has been on hextext.tv lately, and they've noticed that we've got a person doing some more content for us. Light Reaper has been gracious enough to do some articles. More
some awesome articles of that.
Yeah, I mean, they're great. And he's kind of, at this point, doing stuff for newer players, which is great because open beta should be hitting soon, and it's giving people a little bit more of a base in what Hex is and certain theories and mechanics and things like that. But we want to put it out there for the community. We think that it's important that your voice is heard on a different medium. So we're going to be starting a community spotlight kind of program on the website. We're going to be taking submissions for written articles about deck techs or mechanics or, you know, ways to think about the game or whatever. Video content, if you guys want to do deck techs or anything of that nature, you know, sealed, constructed, draft videos. If you guys think you want to get it on a website, you can send it to hextexttv@gmail.com. We will look them over, and we will, anything that, you know, we think should be out there and should be visible to the whole community, we will go ahead and feature you on the website. And obviously, I want to put this out there as well. We can't put everything that gets sent to us up on the website, you know. There might just be too much. There might be things that we don't think is right, and we don't want people to take this badly. But we want to give the opportunity for people who think they can be content providers, but they don't have a space to put it up yet. We want to give them the opportunity to get it on a website that has some traffic and can get your name out there and you know, get you going where you want to go in the Hex community. So please make sure that you keep the language PG-13, and any video content that you send us is also PG-13. Don't send us any kind of random weird video stuff, please, because I don't want to look at some gross stuff. So,
yeah, but you can send it to Mythic, though, if you, you
if
want.
You want, yeah, if you want some weird things.
Remember, a Mythic Fist Mama, you know, in-game, you have to send the Zodiac Shaman. You can send him any link you want.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's
fine.
He's going to check it.
I have no virus protection on my computer, so it's whatever. I'll just open anything that comes in my way. So throw it at me, man.
But yeah, we'll be looking at your submissions, and whenever we see something that we want to put up on the site, we'll go ahead and contact you and do that. So start sending us your stuff as soon as you have something ready.
One thing on this, though, if you are doing deck articles, because that's kind of what I do, don't make me look bad. If you're going to write about an article, make it like a really bad article. That way my really bad articles look better. Just be courteous. That's all I'm saying. Anything else on Indormy? Indormy, rather? Not Indormy, that's not even a person's name. Indormy, anything else you got on this one? Or
I don't know if Indormy's a name either, but whatever.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm just going to not say anything.
All right.
I think my silence will communicate what I want to communicate to you, Mythic.
You're not quite silent, but I can get behind it.
Yeah, so, it's just passive aggressive silence
with words involved in it. But okay.
Spaniards are never truly silent.
Yeah.
All right.
We say we're going to be silent, but when we don't really mean it.
Okay.
Now we'll shut up.
Okay, for real though. Alright. So thank you guys for tuning in as always. I'm Mythic Fishbomb with Phoenix Vortex and Endormi. Say goodnight, guys.
Good night, guys.
Corny. Have a good night and pleasant tomorrow, and we will see you guys next time on The Draw. Later, guys.